Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Jeff Schwartz of Fox Sports, former NFL offensive lineman, will join us. We will go over the day that was in the NFL. A lot of interesting games. The ending between the Lions and the Steelers was just so bizarre. It's hard to top anything that happened on Thursday between the Seahawks and the Rams, but the Steelers down five. Steelers up five, missed a field goal. Boswell missed a chip shot. He never misses. Misses one off the upright. Looks like the Lions are going to come down and steal the game after being down 12. Didn't do anything on offense for most of the second half. Throw a touchdown pass. They're going to win. And then Nance and Romo, I thought, were very late to react and notice there was a flag. It gets called back. And then the wild play at the end, which I'm sure most people saw by now, where Goff throws it a little short of the end zone, ends up getting lateraled. Goff gets in, but they call offensive pass interference. They have called a lot of pass interferences I saw in that game. Three pass interferences in that game, all in big spots. And I'm interested to hear Jeff's take because it seems like on some of them, the last one was a legitimate call. He completely pushed off. That was a blatant call. A couple of them, it seemed like the receivers are just running their routes and happen to run into defenders, and the defender gets the benefit of the doubt in it. So, wild game there. I would say the story of the day in the NFL is now the Jags. And we'll talk to Jeff about this coming up. But awards markets are down as I'm recording this. But I wonder, Cohen, what he opens up, what reopens at for Coach of the Year. And Patriots-Ravens playing right now, that will come into the mix. But I think even if the Patriots hold serve and win some of these games here to close out and win the division, Cohen's got a hell of a case for Coach of the Year. Obviously, Ben Johnson now, it's a pretty loaded Coach of the Year race. With Johnson and everything they're doing with Chicago, that is amazing. They pulled that game out on Saturday night. And now Lawrence can he be in the mix for Coach of the Year? Or does he not qualify based on the rules, the little criteria here? Basically, you got to come back from an injury, that kind of thing. I don't know. But the Jags, with just an incredible win in Denver, and a shot at the one seed and a shot now for this Week 18 to have possibly four division title games, because the Chargers now control their own destiny for the division. They play the Texans and they play at Denver. If they win both those, they are the AFC West champ. Carolina beats Tampa today. They play Week 18. That could be for a division. San Francisco and Seattle, as we know, and San Francisco plays on Monday night. San Francisco and Seattle, possibly for the division, possibly for the one seed. And Steelers-Ravens still possibly for the division. So you have four possible division title games. That would be a great Sunday, a very dramatic Sunday here in a couple of weeks if that is what you get. So I thought the 1 o'clock slate was about one of the weaker ones you have, and that happens sometimes around this time of the year, whether it's Thanksgiving or the holidays. Once you start to have two games on Saturday plus the Thursday game, especially when the Thursday game is really good and you got one of the games that was really good on Saturday with Seahawks, Packers-Bears, and I still can't believe the Packers blew that game and the horseshoe the Bears seem to have. It takes away from the Sunday slate and the games on Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern, Jets and Saints and Vikings-Giants, that dart rookie of the year, you can forget about that. He's not going to win in what is a really weak, kind of watered-down rookie of the year race for offensive player of the year. Yeah, just a weak, Chargers-Cowboys, wasn't a lot of juice in that game. The name of the podcast should have bet more. Man, Chiefs-Titans... Very rarely do I love an NFL bet. I really thought the Chiefs were going to lay down and get throttled in that game. I should have looked at some alts. I thought that was really a missed opportunity. The Titans win the game as three-point dogs by 17 points. And now, look at these Christmas games. Broncos and Chiefs, that's the night game. Broncos laying 12.5. Lions laying 5.5 in Minnesota. Who knows about McCarthy, who was always hurt. And the Cowboys laying 5.5 against the Commanders. And people watch them. It's on TV. You can bet it. You can watch it. So we will, but as far as just losing interest, losing excitement from what you thought these games would be, Washington in the NFC title game last year, Cowboys fringe playoff team, fringe playoff contender. Lions the one seed last year, the Vikings won 14 games. Chiefs have been to three straight Super Bowls and won two of them, and the Broncos were a playoff team. How can you go wrong with those games? And all the games are going to stink. It's really incredible. And the Broncos, like I said, laying 12.5. I mean, what would you have If I told you back in the summer, this game on Christmas, Broncos are basically going to be laying two touchdowns. I actually think this will close two touchdowns. What had to have happened in that game? And obviously, you knew part of it would be Mahomes getting hurt, but just amazing that line is what it is here. So Not an inspiring slate to look forward to on Christmas, but that is the Saturday game with the Chargers at home against the Texans. Chargers laying a point and a half. Very important game, very good game. And you don't have these college football playoff to go against next Saturday with the NFL. It will be all just NFL here as the college football playoff on break until New Year's Eve. And I will get to the college football playoff here in a second. What a disaster that was this weekend. But first, Monday Night Football, Colts and 49ers. 49ers are in Indianapolis laying 5.5 points. I like the Colts team total under. I would have to imagine the 49ers, I know they're banged up defensively. I'd have to imagine they look at Rivers and what he did on film and see the limitations and say, all right, we have an answer for this. He's not going to do this. He's not going to do that. It's almost like a hitter in baseball who only hits, you know, bloop singles. You just move the outfield and you got to be able to figure a way, I would think, to really make it hard for Rivers to move the ball. Them getting to 20 plus points, basically, you know, either three touchdowns or two touchdowns, two field goals, that is asking quite a lot, I think, with Rivers' limitations. I don't think he threw a ball over like 9 yards last week, except for the one ball at the end where it was a desperation play, and that one got intercepted. So Colts team total under 19.5 is a play for me. Would lead towards the 49ers, would lead towards the under, but I think that Colts team total under is the best way to attack that. Before we get to Jeff, the college football playoff, what a disaster this was. I was looking forward to the games, and could give a credit to Brad Powers, who said, you know what, you probably shouldn't be looking forward to them as much as you are, because it's not going to go. We talked about this when the selection was announced a couple weeks ago, that Sunday into Monday. We talked about it Friday show coming into the games. Having Tulane and James Madison in this tournament was ridiculous. Having them both in ruined the first round, and that's what it did. I mean, that's really what it did, because as a college football fan, this is supposed to be a weekend where you get four must-watch games. And you could tell me, you know what, Tennessee got blown out last year. Oregon got blown out in the quarterfinals. So what? Blowouts happen. It's different when blowouts happen and it's for the team that doesn't deserve to be there, had no business being there, gets blown out. And I don't want to hear James Madison, all these garbage points, and that was just a ridiculous cover. 99-yard drive, a ton of points in the fourth quarter after doing nothing. I mean, they were getting bad. It looked like they were going to lose. I think Oregon, if they wanted to lose by 50, or if Oregon wanted to win that game by 50, they could have easily won the game by 50. They took their foot off the gas. James Madison kept playing, and James Madison got on the back door on a fourth down play on a 99-yard drive, and there were some horrible beats on Saturday. The James Madison backdoor got happened the same time the Packers lost to the Bears in overtime, the walk-off touchdown after the onside kick and erasing the 10-point lead late. And Philly-Washington was a sneaky one, too. That under was just an absolute brutal, brutal beat if you had the under in that one. But these are supposed to be four games that are must-watch. If this was Oregon-Notre Dame on Saturday night, I mean, that is a must-watch game if you're a college football fan. If it's Ole Miss versus Texas or Ole Miss versus Vandy, you can say maybe it's a little too SEC. That's supposed to be a must-watch game. To put these two teams in, I mean, why not just put a couple high school teams in? What is the point of putting these two teams in to get absolutely buried, and just completely overmatched? And I mean, college football, just they can't get out of their own way. Last year, they screwed up where the seeding, where Boise would get a bye and Arizona State got a bye. They fixed that. And these mid-major teams, they same thing in college basketball. It's not like it was 10, 15 years ago where sometimes you get a mid-major powerhouse. If you have anybody good on these teams, these James Madisons, Tulanes, they get scooped up by the Power 5 teams. So the mid-majors are weaker than they were 10 or 15 years ago. And you put them in the playoff, and now you put two of them in the playoff, and it ruined it. Like I said, you're supposed to be four must-watch games. The Friday night game was pretty good. Saturday game was pretty good with Miami and A&M. I thought the Miami kids should have gone out of the one. They should have kicked the field goal. It almost came back to bite them, but it didn't. And I do think they are live versus Ohio State. Beck's got to play better. He was awful. But that defense is really good. But Saturday, 3 o'clock Eastern, you could have turned the TV off and you didn't miss anything. To sit there at 3:30 Eastern, Tulane, Ole Miss, or 3:45 when the game started, that was basically like a spring game the second half. It was there's just no intensity. It was a complete waste of time. I think that's the best way to say it. The games this weekend, the second half, and one of them is in primetime Saturday night, Oregon, James Madison, a complete waste of time. And Tulane, Ole Miss, just a complete waste of time. Why not just put a couple high school teams in, really? If we're going to give everyone a shot, just find the best high school team from California or Florida and put them in. It was just such a ridiculous exercise. Meanwhile, you have teams like Notre Dame and Vandy and Texas that are left home that are really good teams. It just ruined the weekend. It took a lot of the excitement out of it. But those teams are out. Now we have a pretty good quarterfinal here where 2 7-point favorites, a 10-point favorite. And we also have the one game here, Oregon-Texas Tech, which I'm sure we'll talk to Jeff about coming up, which is Oregon laying a 1.5. So that should be a fun game. Some bowl games here on Monday. You know, Washington State, Utah State is actually the only one that they're going to avoid the going head-to-head against Monday Night Football. I thought maybe they would put one on like 5 o'clock right before that, but they don't. Tuesday's a pretty good day where you get one at 2 Eastern, 5:30 Eastern, and then 9 o'clock Eastern. But Toledo, Louisville, Western Kentucky, Southern Miss, UNLV, Ohio, are these games getting you all excited? I'm not so sure. California against Hawaii on Christmas Eve. I think that's like the only sporting event on Christmas Eve. The handle for Cal Hawaii on Christmas Eve is going to be monstrous just because that's the only game on. People are home and people, hey, want to have something to bet. Cal now do a 1.5 dog in that game. I think open like a 3-point favorite in that game. Now Hawaii is the favorite. So yeah, really bummed out. And I think the last thing on the college football fans, they feel shortchanged. They feel like, you know what? I'm not entitled to a good game, but the good games were out there. We had good games. We had good games possible, and we got them taken away from us. And it's just a missed opportunity where you could have had 4 really awesome matchups, and you had 2 complete duds. Now, again, you could put Notre Dame, you could put all these teams in there, and they get blown out, and the games don't end up being good. But to not give your sport the best chance for the best playoff and to crown the proper champion, it's just ridiculous. Hopefully they fix it going forward, but maybe that Saturday, the fact that those games just stuck out like a sore thumb, maybe that will get this fixed. And you only get these mid-major teams in if they deserve it, if they qualify based on, you know, a certain ranking, they have to meet a certain threshold. I think that would probably make a lot of sense. If you're a 12-0 Boise team and you're really one of the top 10 or 15 teams in the country, absolutely put them in. But these, you know, 1-2 loss teams that are mediocre mid-major teams that, you know, had good seasons but belong nowhere near the playoffs, you can't have them in there. So we'll see what Jeff Schwartz thinks about this. The day in the NFL, Monday Night Football, that is next. This should have been more podcast. All right, we're back here. Should have been more podcast. Former NFL offensive lineman, Fox Sports. It is the great Jeff Schwartz. Jeff, another day in the NFL. How's it going?
I don't know. You give me $100 to wager on someone to win a Super Bowl right now, I tell you, keep your money. I don't even know who I'd wager on.
We'll start here with what we just watched here, recording this before Baltimore and New England on Sunday night. I didn't know that it could get crazier than Seattle and the Rams. That ending, that was pretty bizarre, though, with the Lions and the Steelers and a bunch of flags. Looked like the Lions were going to steal it. The Steelers missed a field goal, and then Goff runs it in, but time had expired. What did you make of that ending?
Yeah.
Are they getting too comfortable? Like, I know the last one was offensive pass interference. I thought the one that wiped away the St. Brown touchdown was a little shaky. What was your thoughts on the ending, and are they getting too offensive pass interference happy?
So the one before that on the rollout, the sprint right rollout, the Lions receiver might have been pushed in the defender, but the problem is 99 times out of 100, they do it on purpose on that exact play. Like that's a play where the offensive player will often look to pick a defensive player. So the officials see that and they just call what they've always called in that play. They probably don't see him being pushed or guided into the defensive player. So that is just unfortunate that that's the way it happened. But that's what officials are looking for in that exact play. That exact thing that we saw is a lot of times how that guy gets open.
And sorting it live, did you think they were going to – did you think the game was over? I mean, even if you give if you give Detroit another play there, it's what?
But even, fourth there was no time. Like the game is over. The game's over. He was a yard. He was half a yard short of the end zone. And there's no time. It was fourth down. Like, the game is over. So whatever happened after that is unimportant. Even if you don't call OPI, the game is over. He tackled him short of the end zone with on fourth down. Like, that's the end of the game. So, you can gripe about OPI or not, but the fact is the ball was caught outside the end zone. And I think it was Porter Jr. came up and made it a nice play, and it was over. The thing that I find so crazy about officiating right now is this extension of the play, Will, where St. Brown caught the ball on the goal line. He pitched the ball at about the six. So he was driven back 6 yards, and they let the play run. If Jalen Ramsey had taken St. Brown and flung him, right, to the ground at the end of that play, what would that be, Will? That'd be a late hit,
right?
But yet the play continues to go for Goff to score a touchdown? I don't buy this idea that we just let all plays, because we don't let all plays run. They arbitrarily choose. His momentum was stopped. If that would happen at the 50-yard line in the middle of the second quarter, the play's over. It's just done. And yet, I don't know why they continue to let these plays go. The one in Seattle was a little bit different, obviously. But I just don't like the officials leaning on the side of letting a play run like that. That, to me, is not really what you ever do in any other play of the game.
We'll get to some other things, but it seems like we have our playoff teams in the NFC with Philly, Chicago, Seattle, the Rams, the 49ers, and then I believe the Green Bay Magic number over Detroit is one, so one Packers win or one Lions loss puts the Packers in. That's pretty much it in the AFC, in the NFC. I guess in the AFC, well, I have to talk about this, and this is probably the story of the day. The Jags, have we been sleeping on them? Is this like an actual team? You always use this phrase. I think it's a good one. I do the same thing. Can Trevor Lawrence actually be holding up the trophy in February? I have a hard time believing it, but this year in the NFL, I kind of believe anything. What's your take on what the Jags did today in Denver?
I mean, if he's not holding up at the end, who is in the AFC? I mean, everyone's pointing at Josh Allen, but the Bills' defense is horrendous. Like, I don't buy the Buffalo at all. I mean, the Browns, who are inept, scored 20 points today on the Bills. Their defense is not good, and they're going to run up against the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Patriots potentially and the Broncos. Like everything of Knicks, he's gotten better. And so I just don't buy Buffalo's defense. My pick heading into today was Denver. I still feel pretty good about them if they're the one seed, which it appears they're like. I mean, look, they're one game up right now. They play a dead Chiefs team. Like I can't wait. I didn't know that if that number's up yet. I can't wait to wager against the Chiefs. It was Denver was favored by 6 on the road in Kansas City on Christmas night. That's the look ahead line I saw today. I couldn't find a sports book.
10.5.
Yeah. Okay. I don't give it to me. Is it? Oh, it's up right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. 12. Okay. I'm done. 12 points. I'm betting on it right now. Done. 12 points. Like the Chiefs, dude, they're done. There we go. I have a bet on the show. 12 points. They'll be a 14 right before tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. No, I completely agree.
They're done. The Chiefs are completely done. So they get the done Chiefs, and they play the Chargers, who are likely to not really need that game, right? So they're probably the one seed, and then you know they win one game and have a championship game, right?
Although the Chargers control their destiny for their division, don't they? Because they're only a half game behind or a game behind Denver. And
what's the tiebreakers on that? Did they beat them
Chargers
twice?
Already beat them head-to-head, so if they beat them again. So if the Chargers win out, Chargers win the division.
Oh, okay. That's a good point. So they play Houston this week to do the Chargers.
Yeah.
What a fun game. I take Houston that game as of right now. But so, look, I still like Denver if they're the one seed. I guess it will be Buffalo, I guess, if I had to pick someone else. Dude, look at this. Bo Nix, Drake May, Trevor Lawrence, Aaron Rodgers, or Lamar crazy. Jackson, Herbert with no offensive line, Buffalo with no defense, or C.J. Stroud. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And very rarely, like, do I love an NFL game aside, because for the most part, these lines are right. These lines are the lines for a reason, but you mentioned it. Titans, Chiefs, that was one where you could just see the Chiefs rolling over. I'm mad I didn't do alternates. I'm mad that was just one that you could see coming today, wasn't it?
I mean, that was my bet. That was my favorite bet of the week. I gave it out everywhere I could be. It was a best bet on radio. It was a best bet in writing on Fox Sports. A best bet everywhere, Will. I mean, look, the Chiefs, even if Gardner Minshew plays, they're not winning that game. This, think about this. I tweeted this out. This is the first time I've watched a Chiefs play a game in 11 years where the playoffs were not a factor at all.
It's amazing.
Even when they play Week 18 and rest the starters, at least the next game they have is a playoff game. This is the first time in 11 years. You add a bad offense to Gardner Minshew. Like, the offense is not going to be any better, and then he tears his ACL, supposedly. They're gonna lose the Broncos on Christmas. They're probably going to lose the Raiders because who cares about that Week 18 game? I wouldn't be surprised if Travis Kelce has And I took his overs. Luckily, they cashed before he got hurt. Mahomes did. He's not going to catch another pass probably the rest of the season. It's just, it's not good. And Andy Reid will be back, they said. And that was, I had everywhere, I bet everywhere I could, buddy. That was my favorite wager of the week.
Yeah, that was a good one. As a former player, did you know these playoff scenarios? Because we always talk about this time all the time. Oh, this team will be motivated. This team has nothing to play for. Were you like vaguely aware of the scenarios? Yes. Or are most guys just, you know what, we need to win and you don't really worry about the other stuff?
No. You know, Will. You're silly if you don't. I think even coaches might tell you, like, we're gonna win and we need, you know, a couple things to happen our way. But yeah, I mean, you're not a dummy. You know what has to happen, but of course you have to win and make it happen. The thing that I think is irrational, and I remember feeling the same way all the time, was the idea of, if we can just get in, we have a chance. Just get in, we have a chance. Like, that's the way it always used to feel. And I think players still feel that way now. Just get in, we have a chance. Get in, we have a chance. Get in, we have, even on teams 5-5 through 10 games, man. Like, let's just win out. We go 11-5, or, you know, let's split our games. You know, we go 9-7. Like, we got a chance. And I think that irrational confidence is something that all players have.
Any other takeaways from today before we get to the Monday night game and some college stuff?
I don't know, man. I think I'm going to miss some of these quarterbacks in the playoffs, honestly. It's going to be a really – I was thinking about this. I was walking my dog tonight watching the Lions-Steelers game. It's going to be a really difficult playoffs to wager on. Right now, Bears are hosting the Packers. I'm taking – the Bears have had 6 games this year where they've won, where they've been trailing under 2 minutes left, most NFL history. The Eagles host the Niners. Are we taking the – you been on the Eagles? Panthers, Rams, I would take the Rams. Like, I feel pretty comfortable in that rematch. AFC, Patriots, Texans. Pick them? We're making that game. Patriots -2?
Yeah, Patriots by a couple of points. I don't know.
Jacksonville, Buffalo? I'll take the Bills. Chargers, Steelers. Like, I don't know. Sure.
I know. Like, when you lay it out like that, it really does, like, wow. Good luck picking any of these. A lot of these are going to be a field goal or less, except for if you got Rams-Panthers. I mean, what is that line? That's the Rams are certainly over a touchdown.
6? I think, in that game. 6 probably, I mean,
it was,
right?
They played Thanksgiving weekend. Ago. It was like 10.5. I know the Panthers beat them, but that's going to be, over
probably
a touchdown.
7, you think?
Yeah, I would think north of a touchdown. I'd think north of a touchdown. 49ers-Colts, I would imagine the 49ers watch the Rivers tape and see the limitations, and Sal was able to just kind of clamp down and make him uncomfortable in a way Seattle wasn't. Not that he did a lot against Seattle last week, but what did you see with Rivers on tape? What are you looking for in this Monday night game? 49ers laying 5.5, total 46.5.
I just do not buy Phillip Rivers. I mean, he had 120 yards last week, and people acted like he had done something that was the most incredible thing they've ever seen in their lifetime. I mean, they had one touchdown. He had completed 9 passes behind the line of scrimmage. Will, the Niners defense is not good because of all their injuries, but I mean, once you put that on film, you know what you're getting. Like, I was shocked Seattle let the running back catch the ball so much out of the backfield. Like, what do you think you're going to get? He threw one pass more than 10 yards over the middle of the field. It was intercepted. He's not going to feel any better body-wise after this game. I think they're going to dial up pressures. They're going to sim pressure the heck out of him, try to hit him a little bit. The Colts defense is not good either. So I think I would lean Niners if anything, but I mean, I'm probably not laying 6 on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the 46.5 is a little high. I mean, how many points? I really like, if anything, Colts team total under 19.5. Like, how many points is Indy really scoring? Indy's really scoring 3 touchdowns or 2 touchdowns and 2 field goals in this game. I know 49ers aren't great defensively, and Indy is at home. That seems like a tall ask for the Colts to get 20 plus here.
I would agree, unless something weird happens. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. College football. I'm sure you have a different view of this a little bit, because you know what, you're Oregon guy, your team won, but I don't know. It was just kind of a weird feeling Saturday night, thinking about what could have been, thinking about what 4 great matchups we could have gotten, and we got 2 duds. That being said, your team advances.
It was stupid. It was dumb. It was stupid. Yeah. I'll take the win. Don't get me wrong, but Notre Dame should have been in. Like, the goal of the playoff is finding a champion. If JMU doesn't make the playoff and they're 12-1, their season is exactly the same. It's a great. Now, of course, the 2-week lead up to that is great. I feel bad that, unfortunately, I gave out Oregon. I mean, I don't know.
Me too. That was a tough one.
I mean, they're up 48-13 with a chance to go either 51-13 or 55-13. Moore gets his arm hit, throws an interception. And here's the thing, too, that's different than regular season. Like, JMU would have put the backups in the fourth quarter. They just didn't in this game. I'm actually surprised they didn't, like, let other guys play in this environment. But they didn't, and they just scored an Oregon. Dude, I know people have a hard time with this. Oregon had guys in on defense that are redshirting this year. At the, like, because your redshirt doesn't count in the playoffs. So if you there were guys playing on defense, I ended up looking at snap counts. I think it was ended up being 8 or 9 guys who played, who had the most snaps in any game was this season. I mean, excuse me, wasn't it? Like, they just stopped playing. Like, this, if you think this game matters at all to next week or 2 weeks now, you're out of your mind.
And the people that are taking the flurry of points by James Madison as some sort of victory lap or some sort of justification as they belonged or this was a good showing, I mean, I can't disagree more. They were obliterated in the game. They were embarrassed. All right, the final score is cosmetic. They covered and all that. It looks better. But, I mean, that's just total. I mean, people are looking to justify them being in. It just, to me, the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Well, I mean, look, I mocked someone who had a really bad write-up of the game. And they ended up being right in the end. I know my mentions are just like getting killed for that. But you know, like if you handicapped this game and said Oregon, JMU was going to cover, like you were on the wrong side. Like that's not a good handicap. But hey, man, they're pace dictators, Will. So because they play well against Troy, they're going to dictate. I mean, Oregon scored the first 5 touchdowns on like 22 plays. I mean, it's just dumb. Like, when we previewed this game, I said the same thing to you. Like, I didn't even know how to begin to preview JMU's defense that's like top 10 in points per drive and yards per play. They didn't play anybody like Oregon. I mean, even Texas Tech, they have yet to play an offense like Oregon. In fact, I'd argue they haven't played an offense close to Oregon yet. They played Utah, who is a good efficiency offense, but they don't pass the football. So, like, they haven't played. They played BYU twice with a freshman quarterback. Like, that's not the same thing. That's it. Like, who else have they played? Their schedule, right? Utah, Houston, Kansas, Arizona State. I think the Sims playing that game? Was it Levitt? I have no idea by that point. Oklahoma State, Kansas State, BYU, UCS, West Virginia, BYU. Like, how do I know Texas Tech's defense is good, but how do I scale that to playing an actual team with 4 NFL offensive linemen, 2 NFL tight ends, maybe the first pick in the drafted quarterback, you know, multiple wideouts that are going to the NFL. Like, I don't know how to preview that. It just, that's what makes the playoffs so interesting. Like, Ohio State and Miami, I can do a good job previewing that. They've played sort of teams like each other. Texas Tech just hasn't played Oregon yet this season.
The 4 spreads here. You guys laying 1.5 to Texas Tech. Indiana laying 7 to Bama. Georgia laying 7 to Ole Miss. And Ohio State laying 10 to Miami.
Too many points.
Too many points with Miami?
Right?
I would agree. I mean, Beck's got to play better, but Miami's got real talent, obviously, on both sides of the ball. And I think that'll be a fun game. That's the New Year's Eve game.
I just don't trust Julian Sand. Ohio State played essentially like 1 playoff caliber team. Even like, you know, Michigan, I guess you count Texas early in the season, but I think Texas now is much better than week 1. But even the Texans, they scored 14 points and then 10 against Indiana. Like, Miami's a real defense. like it's a real defense. Sure. And I think Miami winning that game ugly is really good for Mario's psyche, because I think a lot of people like me were like, I like Mario, but like, I don't know, man, the big game Mario stuff, that wasn't a problem. So, I think they got over that hump. I think 10 points is way too many.
Would you be surprised if Miami won the game?
No.
Neither would I. I'm with you. I like under too. I just think that's a 20-17 type of game. Did you have a problem? This is kind of in the weeds. I know Miami had their kicking issues. Both teams did. I thought when you got a chance to go out at the one and just kick a,
yes,
basically an extra point to win the
absolutely
game, I thought that was the play, and that almost that, cost them in A&M. I know they weren't moving the ball.
Yeah.
Miami defense is playing great, but I just play the percentages there and take the extra point basically for the win.
Dude, you're absolutely correct. And like that's one thing where I feel like Kirby Smart, Dan Lanning, like they're telling their guys, if you get a first down, just go down. Right? You're telling me, people are like, well, you can't leave up to a kicker. You can move the ball to the middle of the field at the 1 yard line. You telling me a guy can't make an 18 yard kick to win the game? Like, are you that bad? You can't make an 18 yard kick to win the game. So yeah, they should have gone down. It didn't matter in the end. But yeah, absolutely, scoring a touchdown there was not the right decision.
Who do you got in the championship? Who are the two teams?
Let me see. So it's Indiana's not on the same side. Are they the same side as Ohio State?
No, here. Indiana's the one. Ohio State's the two. So Indiana plays the winner of Oregon Tech.
I kind of like I think Indiana, Georgia is kind of where I'm at right now. I think Georgia defensively has just gotten a lot better this season. I just don't know how you bet against Indiana right now, unless you think that whatever sort of voodoo they've had ends in the playoff. I mean, they've won this year 4 games on the road or not at home, tied with Oregon in the fourth quarter. Now they were winning most of that game, but still tied in the fourth quarter, 1-10, beat Penn State by 1, beat Iowa by 5, and beat Ohio State by 3. Like that, those are close wins with not a lot of margin for error. Is that going to catch up to them in the postseason?
What are you cooking for the holidays? Anything good?
So my kids and family are going to Whistler in the morning. I'm staying home. So Will, I'm not complaining, but I have like 8 hours of talking tomorrow, and then it kind of calms down a little bit. I'm gonna just make anything I want. What I'm gonna do is I'll go to the Asian grocery store, and just start picking stuff out. We're gonna just have like a feast. I'll probably make some soups. You know, it's a little chilly right now. Make some noodle dishes, some rice dishes. Maybe I'll dabble in some other areas, but I'm gonna have some good food. I know you you will as well. Your daughter is my spirit animal. She's like my. I think our daughters would get along. I mean, they would probably kill each other, but they would get along, I think, fairly well in their food. Like my daughter has ranch with steak, Will.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I made prime rib the other night. I sent you the picture. 6 hours in a sous vide, beautiful. Where's the dad? I need ranch. I'm like, Emmy, you don't need ranch. Please. And she's like, no, dad, I need ranch. I go, can you just try without ranch? I promise you, you don't need ranch. No, I need ranch, dad. I need ranch. It was frustrating.
How do you make your chili, by the way?
Oh, I don't really have a recipe like per se. I just think the longer you cook it, the better, right? So I just cook it forever. I will tell you though, I put ketchup in there. It makes a big difference because you want a little, that little hint of sugar in there, right? The little hint of sweetness in the chili. But obviously ground beef, beans, throw some onions in there. You could spice it up if you want. I put ketchup in there. Like I said, some tomato sauce. Like it's good. I like it.
And what do you got 8 hours tomorrow? Are you doing what, Fox Sports Radio?
No, I'm doing Big Ten Radio in the morning. Then I have my GM Shuffle podcast. Then I have like a Bear Bets for 30 minutes. Then I have another GM Shuffle recording for later in the week. It's Christmas. Like, so Thursday, obviously, we have kind of make up for a lot of these shows now. Baltimore, by the way, into the end zone very quickly here against New England, 3-0. That was very easy. I bet Baltimore because someone I tailed took Baltimore. I didn't love it, but looks like a good start so far.
And suddenly a very urgent need for Baltimore to basically win out, unless you think Pittsburgh is going to lose to Cleveland, which they could on the road. But Baltimore is going to need to win all these games now because Pittsburgh took care of business and pulled the upset against Detroit.
Are they playing week 18?
Yeah.
And that will be – so we could have week 18, what, Tampa? We could have Niners, Seahawks, Bucks, Panthers, and the AFC North, right? Essentially week 18?
AFC North. But, I mean, that would require Baltimore winning this week, which they're playing now. So by the time people listen, they know if they did. They got to beat Green Bay, which who knows what's Green Bay's quarterback situation, or they get a loss. So, this is basically, if Baltimore wants to, any hope of making a run, they basically can't lose the rest of the season.
If you had to choose those three games to put on Sunday Night Football last week,
it's got to be for the one seed game, right, similar to last year where you do the Vikings Lions because that was for the one. There's just so much drama. There's so much riding on it.
Yeah, but Steelers Ravens though to have a win, like they love winning get in games if they can choose.
Yeah, that's a good point. The fact that it'd be a playoff game, you might be right. That's a really whatever game would be the odd one out. That would be a really good
in
game.
AFC North. To win and get in game.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I think
you're
probably right. I don't think if it was a win and get in NFC South game, that would be that game. I think they would choose the Niners and Seahawks over that one. But AFC North, win and get in game, I think that would make it.
I think they might flex it out if it was the NFC South. The NFC South is just so depressing. It really is.
I took a big number in Panthers to finish second place in the division, like plus 400. Like, I might have to play against that.
Yeah.
In week 18, which I never thought I'd have to do.
Yeah. All right, Jeff. This was fun, man.
Yep.
Congrats to your Ducks. Good luck going forward. Where can we find you?
Jeff Schwartz on social media, Jeff with a G. Pretty easy to find me. And yeah, man, January 1st, I'll be here before we know it, which is like counting down the days, man. I can't wait for Oregon to play again.
All right, that will do it. Rate, review, subscribe. We'll be back on Wednesday. See you then.